The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys. Long time no here.
Yeah,
no,
we're still here. Don't worry. Yeah.
Life and shit.
I'm sure, like, recently everyone's been wondering if there's ever going to be another episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. But I assure you, even though we're not weekly like some podcasts
like
on this network.
Yeah.
We do make time when we can make time.
Yeah.
So,
life and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. When exactly was the last time? Was it just...
Right before WrestleMania.
Right before.
Literally, Mania. Our last episode went up day one of WrestleMania.
Ah.
So, yeah.
And that was, what, a month ago, I guess?
A month and a couple of days.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So.
A month and 5 days. So probably, like, we'll say 5 weeks just for the sake of argument.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll kind of get back on the track. We've said this before, but you're a big-time record producer. Ducky's in a band.
Yep.
You know, you're actually going to be going on tour soon, right?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Let me put this bottle down.
Yeah, sorry. For context, I found a very old bottle of wine in my basement that used to belong to my grandparents.
We're trying to find what year it was.
The label is very much not intact. But it definitely looks like when you hold the bottle up to the light that there are sediments in it. So I guess age was not kind to this bottle,
particular bottle
of red wine.
No, not at all.
No. But as for your tour, when are you doing that?
We start June 9th. Yes, June 9th. I forgot for a minute.
Along the Canadian East Coast, right?
Yeah.
Two days after my birthday.
We're going out east, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We play, hang on, let me find the poster here. It's somewhere. I should have it saved in my phone, but I don't.
Make sure you catch Shit Happens on the East Coast of Canada. If
we play, I know the dates though. June 9th, we play Ottawa.
Okay.
June 10th, we play Montreal with our friends, the Ripcords.
Nice.
We have 2 days off. Is it 2 days off? I don't remember. Hang on.
Well, with the long drives between Canadian cities, you should have.
Fuck.
It's a good thing you're not crossing Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have 2 days off. Then June 13th, we play Quebec City.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
June 14th, it's either Hamilton or, what's closer, Hamilton or London to Toronto?
If I had a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you.
Probably London.
Yeah.
But it all depends if you're coming up north from Quebec City.
That's true.
It's probably still London.
You're not playing Toronto, though?
Yeah, we're playing Toronto.
Okay. Do you think there's a chance that the Toronto Maple Leafs will win the Stanley Cup by then? Will you be going into Toronto with the Maple Leafs having won the Stanley Cup for the first time since, what was it, 1967? Oh, wow, geez.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And the last time a Canadian team won was, like, what, 1993 when the Canadians won it? The Montreal Canadiens?
I think something like that.
It was in the 90s, the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Obviously
a Winnipeg Jets fan, but...
Well, yeah.
Some point in my lifetime...
You'd like to see...
I want to see the Leafs win the Cup.
Yeah.
You know, because my older brother was born in 67.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he hasn't even really seen... A Leafs win in his lifetime. So,
jeez,
it's at some point.
It would be something to see.
Yeah.
Even though what's his... Okay, what... I know this is the most un-Canadian thing to not know a lot about hockey. I don't know a lot either. The head dude from the NHL, Gary...
Bettman.
Yeah. Didn't he go on record saying that a Canadian team will never win the Stanley Cup ever again?
I can see that's something Bettman would say. But he can't predict that. This isn't pro wrestling.
No.
Well, scripted.
This is the same guy who was also vehemently against Winnipeg ever having a hockey team ever again. And when he saw the turnout for the first Jets game in 2012, he looked visibly pissed off at how wrong he was.
I found the tour poster.
Okay. Nice. Okay, back to that.
So June 9th, Ottawa, we played DeCuffed, where we played last year for Ottawa Punk Fest.
Cool.
June 10th, we play the Trackside Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
June 13th, we play La Source de la Martinière. I probably pronounced that, butchered that wrong, in Quebec City. June 15th,
apologies to all of our French-Canadian fans.
Yeah. Sorry. June 15th, we play Hamilton at Doors Pub.
Mm-hmm.
June 16th, we play London at Holy Diver.
Holy Diver! Oh, shit, that's a great place for a club.
It's a restaurant.
Whatever. Cool.
So Kayla's going to be running up and down between booths because that's where the room is.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of cool. June 17th, we play Seascape in Toronto. It's like a sci-fi bar.
Nice.
Oh, very nice.
And a sci-fi bar.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'll show you guys pictures of it after.
Okay.
And June 18th, we play a basement venue called The Womb in Ottawa.
The Womb.
That makes sense. Excellent, excellent. Well,
we've talked about everything except for wrestling all so far. We've talked about wrestling. We've talked about punk. We've talked about hockey, even though this is Wrestling Night in Canada, not that other show on CBC, which whose name I don't know if I'm legally allowed to pronounce.
What?
I've never
heard of that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. Yeah, have a good time. Take lots of pictures. Can't wait for
I remember.
To share.
Kayla will take the photos.
Mm-hmm.
And let's kind of jump into this now. Yesterday, as we speak. Okay, it's just called Backlash now, right?
Thankfully, it went back. They dropped the WrestleMania prefix.
Because,
you know, we're all idiots in Kansas. And couldn't figure out that the Backlash means the backlash from WrestleMania.
Right, right. The very first time.
Thanks, Vince.
Yeah.
I saw that. The very first Backlash, you know, I went, oh, yeah, okay, I get it.
Makes sense, yeah.
All right, yeah, okay.
Vince!
So I figured we'll quickly go over it, give our horns up, horns down, all that really good stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, because WrestleMania has been a while, but yeah, you know, that was a good event in and of itself.
It was
very, very impressive looking stage, which is like rare for WWE nowadays because it's all the same all the time. But yeah, loved the stage, loved the whole atmosphere in the stadium. Night one was an absolute banger of a night. Like Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair, easily match of the weekend, I'd say. Or or Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos.
Yeah.
Because that was like the happy ending match. Because it sure wasn't Cody
versus
Roman. Well, they finished their story. Cody, and even though it's technically still going on, but, you know, Cody was not able to finish the story because, well, reasons.
Yeah.
And now Roman Reigns is going to be Universal Champion for 1,000 days. And he's already been WWE Champion for over a year now, too.
Yep.
But we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Because we got a whole other thing to talk about involving world titles later on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as far as Backlash 2023, live from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Yeah.
San Juan.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. We'll go over that quickly. Let's see what we got. First, we had Bianca Belair versus Io Sky for the Raw Women's Championship, despite the fact that both women were drafted to SmackDown not long ago.
Not that hard.
Yeah.
This is why the draft means nothing to me.
No. Well, thankfully, it seems like they haven't really brought it up that they're going to do a title swap like they have in the past with the brand-specific championships. So rumor is that the Raw and SmackDown women's titles are going to be going through name changes, not to be non-brand specific. Hopefully that we're not going to see the return of the Divas Championship, and I doubt that will ever come.
Oh, God.
Fuck.
That ugly butterfly.
Yeah, but hey, for the longest time, that was the only prize that women could win in WWE.
Yeah,
so
that belt was there way too fucking long.
Yeah. Yeah, it was there. It overstayed its welcome, just like the spinner belt.
Mm-hmm.
But so Rhea Ripley being on Raw with the SmackDown women's title and Bianca Belair being on SmackDown with the Raw women's title, rather than switching belts, which was a stupid and lazy idea to begin with.
Yep.
They are going to be rumored to be switching the names to something not brand specific. So hopefully we'll be seeing either just like the World Women's Championship or the Universal Women's Championship, something along those lines. just hopefully not just red and blue specific. So it does, they don't have to go through this title swap bullshit every time there's a draft. Because like the Intercontinental and United States titles switched brands too. But you don't see Gunter and Austin Theory going like, oh, well, I got to give you this. Yeah. You got to give me this. And, you know, and well, obviously we couldn't do that with the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship year because those titles belong to the same person. Both of those titles are now on SmackDown.
Why not just say the champions aren't eligible to be drafted? Why?
Well, because that takes the excitement out of it. Doesn't it? Wouldn't you think? Like if a champion switching shows kind of opens up new opportunities for new people to win the championships. Mm-hmm. So like the first time in my, like, what year was it? Like 2005 or when John Cena and Batista ended up switching shows.
Yeah.
With the world titles. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that to me was exciting.
Cena was the first draft.
He was the very first, like that draft took place over like the course of like an entire week, didn't it?
Yeah,
or like 2 weeks, because like the very first draft pick was John Cena to Raw, yep. And the very last draft pick was Batista to SmackDown. Yep.
Where
which
they
I
had
mean,
that number one contender for the SmackDown World Title.
No, it was a tournament for the SmackDown Championship. Yep. That's just what it was called. And then it's like, yeah. Then when JBL
got,
when JBL won,
bad
like,
news for you, player.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. When JBL won, Teddy Long was just like, "Congratulations, JBL! You are the winner." But you are not the SmackDown champion because there is no need for a SmackDown champion. And then, yeah, it's
you are number one contender.
I mean, everybody kind of saw that coming after John Cena got drafted into Raw. But but nevertheless, it was, I don't know.
I wonder if they had a SmackDown championship made.
No, they had something in a bag, but they never revealed it. So I'm assuming it just might have been any old championship lying around that they had. Like, just.
I need this tag belt for the segment. Throw it in the bag.
Yeah, throw it in the bag. Into the bag. But it was just an old replica belt they had. They just grabbed it from the concession stands.
Need one of these.
Yeah, I was, excuse me.
I'll bring this back in an hour.
It was just the old Undisputed Championship, probably.
Yeah.
But, anyway. So after Backlash, now the draft has taken full effect, and we're not really gonna go over the details of the draft because by the sounds of it, it's not gonna be meaningful for all that long. No. So
especially with the free agent shit they have going.
Yeah, so many people were free agents. It's like, what, none of these shows wanted you, I guess. Like,
sorry, Omos.
Yeah, like for Brock Lesnar, it makes sense.
Yeah,
because that guy has like a status that just goes beyond brand exclusivity, but people like Omos and Baron Corbin, and you're telling me nobody wanted Mustafa Ali and Dolph Ziggler? Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
I would, like, I don't know.
And, like, with Corbin, too, he just won his first match in over 200 days.
Yeah.
At a house show in France. You know, and it was great, because the whole match they were chanting, Baron Corbin. Mm. But in French.
Yeah. Like, they, awesome. Baron Corbin has potential that they can't use. Did you know that he was the last person to ever pin Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
Yeah, like over 3 years ago.
Huh. Yeah.
That was during their dog food feud.
Yep.
But,
and the last person to ever technically beat Roman Reigns one-on-one was Xavier Woods. So.
And.
By DQ. But.
Oh, yeah. And it was, and Seth Rollins before that also by DQ.
Mm-hmm.
But. But yeah, he hasn't been pinned since 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. Strange to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy jeez. And with the rumors going that he's holding that he's going to beat Hogan's.
Hogan's longest reign.
Yeah. Which, if he does, he's going to be holding it till September 2020.
That's a long ways away.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very long ways away. But anyway. Yeah. Onto the pay-per-view. It started with Bianca Belair versus Io Sky for the Raw Women's Championship. This match was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I didn't expect anything else. There was a pretty scary spot in the match where Bianca tried to press slam Io, and Io landed right on her face and didn't slip over in time.
It was brutal, yeah.
Yeah, there looked like everyone looked pretty concerned for a second, and they zoomed in on Bianca's face, and she looked visibly concerned for Io.
Mm-hmm.
But then you could tell that the referee gave her the okay, and then they were able to finish the match.
You could see some sort of a bruise start to form under Io's eye, but that's about it. So it's like, okay.
Thankfully she didn't get a concussion out of the whole thing, because that could have been a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a lot worse, but yeah.
Just like the German Charlotte took at WrestleMania. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, there were some spots, there were some definite spots where I thought that Io was going to win and like pull out the shock victory, but ultimately Bianca Belair came out as women's champion, and I believe now she's a longer reigning Raw women's champion than Becky Lynch.
I think so.
That's what the, yeah. The
and if she wants to beat Fabulous Moolah's reign, or Mae Young or whoever was the longest
Fabulous
champion.
Moolah, Moolah.
She has to hold the title till February 4th, 2050.
Well, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Okay, but you have to remember, like when Moolah won the title back at Mania and all that, and so it people started talking about Moolah's long reign of 22 years and all that. There had to have been times where she went years without defending it. Because if you're in a territory where there just is no interest in women's, it's not like Moolah for those 22 years was defending it every night.
No.
Her schedule was lighter than Roman Reigns's and Brock Lesnar's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's put it that way. Because she had other things. Like she had, you know, she had trainees to pimp out and stuff
like that.
Of
course. Yeah.
So yeah. she was a busy girl elsewhere.
Yeah.
And all that. So yeah, before anyone over that.
It doesn't really mean a whole lot if you aren't defending it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's the same thing as Roman's, you know, oh my God, Roman's going to have it for X amount of years.
And the whole thing with Brock was you part-timer, blah, 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 blah. Guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah, now
he's
Reigns.
Going part-time, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a heel, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's, at least with Roman, though, at least he's defending it, like, at least. Well, he was defending it once a month. He skipped Backlash, obviously. Yeah. But at least he's going to be at Night of Champions. I'm pretty sure he's advertised for Money in the Bank. Which, like, oh, yeah. And by the way, next, like, three consecutive WWE pay-per-views, all international, not in the United States or Canada.
Oh, okay.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, because I got
last night he was in San Juan.
So, yeah, last night, San Juan, Puerto Rico. Night of Champions is going to be in Saudi Arabia. Well, I know that's a pretty regular thing, but it's still international is international.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Money in the Bank is going to be in London.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Interesting.
When is Money in the Bank?
June, I think. I don't know
exactly. If I'm not mistaken, I'm on tour.
Okay. It's going to be on it.
The 19th. Get back that day.
Yeah, it's going to be on... Probably, well, it's in England, so it's definitely going to be on in, like, the middle of the day.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, maybe I won't be back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so what was the ladies?
Oh, yeah, after the ladies, we got Seth Rollins versus Omos. Now, this was originally...
July 1st.
July 1st? Okay, cool. Okay, so this was definitely seen as a punishment for Seth Rollins for walking out of Raw after Mania, after there had been, 100%. After there had been a change, but... You know, I gotta say, this is probably Omos's best match that he's had.
100%.
Absolutely, because they actually gave him something to do.
Yeah, like, this is like kind of like what Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar always has his best matches with guys that are smaller than him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, like, when, and, well, granted, everyone's smaller than Omos. But,
just
but,
a bit.
Yeah, like, if Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman are smaller than Omos, then that says about all right there.
He's a big boy.
He's a big boy. I think he's bigger than the Great Khali. So, yeah. And, it not being a squash match, which is what Omos usually is in.
Right.
It was actually pretty entertaining. Like, they got some good spots in, like, he was basically throwing Rollins around, and there was some spots that were reminiscent of Hogan versus Shawn Michaels from SummerSlam 2005.
There was a few where he oversold the shit out of it.
Yeah, but for a little more necessarily. It wasn't just to rib the guy.
No.
But
it's because he's a giant.
It was to put him over, if anything, yeah. But
Seth made Omos look good last
night. He did, and there was a spot where he kicked out of a frog splash at one, which was pretty surprising. Seth went to go hit the stomp but couldn't at one point.
Omos
because
looked at him like, the fuck are you
doing? It's like, not today.
That was cool.
Yeah,
that
but then really cool. ultimately Seth won with a top rope curb stomp and got the win. So Omos has yet to actually get that big win to make himself look like a huge threat, but yeah. I have a feeling it's coming.
I still think at Mania, though, it should have taken at least three F5s.
Yeah, not just the single one. Yeah, if Roman Reigns can kick out a six, then
yeah,
like, let's be real here.
The idea Omos of building...
can just, like... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have they lost it with Omos now? Like, the idea of building him up like a giant and all that? Because if you're getting cleanly pinned by people smaller than you.
Well, I mean, like, guys like Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins have, like, accolades. Whereas, mm-hmm. like, the jobbers that he's squashing on a weekly basis do not. Right. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of like... Great Khali was able to easily... hurt guys like Triple H and The Undertaker, but I guess he was able to beat The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But that, I don't know. It's.
Which, even going back and watching that still is still weird.
Yeah. I know.
He destroys Taker in 5 minutes. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
What?
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 What happened? I don't know. It's like, but with wrestling booking, someone can be a jobber 1 week and like they could be. Someone like a big deal the next, like just look at Jinder Mahal, for instance.
Yeah, no, true enough.
Or
yeah.
Big Show's heel face.
Yep. I know it all depends on the booking, but like obviously Vince McMahon wants to be almost to be a big deal, but obviously Triple H has other ideas. So I don't know. Making people look good in defeat is also an art in and of itself.
It is. That's,
so
that's all part of it. That's yeah. all part of your work rate.
Yeah.
You know, making you okay. Not only is it you have to make yourself look good, but you have to make your opponent look good.
Yeah,
like it's all part of it.
Yeah, Omos has yet to, or he beat Bobby Lashley, didn't he? On because they fought at two consecutive pay per views, if I remember correctly, or PLEs, whatever we want to call them. Still doesn't roll off the tongue very
no,
well.
No, I think it's always going to be pay per view.
Yeah, PPV. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. When he eventually, I hope he can eventually win a singles championship. Not that I want Gunter to lose at this point.
No.
So, we'll see. I also don't want Omos to be the first world heavyweight champion on Raw. But we'll get to that.
Uh-huh.
So I guess, in short, time will tell for Omos.
Mm-hmm.
For now, just keep building him up. Like, because he needs to be built up. I don't want him to be thrown into the main event scene immediately. Because that would just immediately peak his... He would just peak too quickly, and then his credibility would
then
just
go down. Then it's all downhill from there.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, oh, exactly. Sure. Kind of like what they did with the Giant in WCW. But,
that's Andre's yeah. shirt.
Yeah, this is Andre's shirt, brother. But speaking of mid-card championships... Austin Theory versus Bobby Lashley versus Bronson Reed for the United States Championship. Now, let's see. Austin Theory gets drafted to SmackDown with the United States title. Bobby Lashley gets drafted to SmackDown. Bronson Reed gets drafted to Raw. Gee, I wonder who's going to win this match.
Especially either Austin Theory or Lashley.
Especially after Gunter gets drafted to Raw with the Intercontinental title. Now, Yeah, so I'm glad that Bronson Reed got a good showing in this match, despite the fact that he was just pretty much there to take the pin. Mm-hmm. And a majority of his offense was basically just like, look at me go into you with my entire body. But yeah, like the match was good. It was entertaining. Mm-hmm. And like Austin Theory did a good job of playing the chicken shit heel that just like took opportunities after the other guys.
Funny.
Yeah.
After the ref was in the way.
Yeah. Like, but he did a good job of playing the chicken shit heel that just, sat along the sidelines, let the kaijus beat each other up well,
yep.
and then come in to weasel away with the win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like nothing spectacular happened in this match, but it was good. It was entertaining. I liked it. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, it was a fun match. That.
Yeah, it was fun. But Austin Theory retains, still U.S. champion, so the United States Championship is back on SmackDown. And. Yeah, next up we had, I believe it was Rhea Ripley versus Zelina Vega for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Big build up to this for Zelina Vega, being that it was in Puerto Rico and she
right.
has a Puerto Rican
and
descent.
She's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
right.
Her parents were in the audience. Yeah, a lot of the crowd was way into this match, obviously, because they had a homegrown talent
right.
like, to represent. But yeah, also, I'm glad it wasn't a squash match because Zelina Vega put on a pretty good showing, despite the fact that she lost. There was a pretty funny moment in that match where Zelina Vega's mother handed her her sandal and she threw it at Rhea Ripley. The look on which, like, I guess is like a cultural thing, according to the commentary team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like the look that Rhea Ripley gave Zelina Vega after she threw the flip flop at her was just like, kind of like, who throws a shoe? Honestly.
She got whipped with a chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. The chocolate. That was it. Yeah. But yeah, Rhea Ripley came out with the win. Still SmackDown Women's Championship after being drafted to Raw.
The best part after that match, I think, well, besides her getting the standing ovation, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Dominic posted a photo on Twitter. Actually, no. Yeah, Rhea posted a photo on Instagram or something. It is Rhea standing backwards and Dom pointing at her butt because it says Dom on her butt. Mm. And then Buddy Murphy comments, he might be written on your bum, but I get to touch it.
Nice. Oh, wow. I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
I
and Dom's married, isn't he? Or
Dom is engaged.
Engaged, yeah.
Okay. I just had this feel like if this was AEW, if this was an AEW, Vega would be winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Okay.
But it's the WWF, her hometown. Of course she's losing. Like that's
but also Rhea just won the women's title.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Rhea won the women's title on SmackDown. She got drafted to Raw. Zelina got drafted to SmackDown. So I guess this is also the end of the LWO versus Judgment Day feud. So
right, which I didn't even know like that was a thing again.
The LWO,
the Latino World Order. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah,
and they had the special shirts made up just for the event to have Puerto Rican colors instead of Mexican colors.
Right.
Yeah, and those shirts sold like hotcakes at the concession stands.
Oh,
apparently.
I guess so. I guess so. It was really nice, like seeing at the beginning of the match, like Vega is like she was. Borderline tears.
Oh, just, yeah. Just when, during the ring introductions?
Yeah. Just that. And then after the match, okay, yeah, she ate the pin, but it was a pretty emotional moment afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like competing in front of a crowd that big in her hometown and getting the ovation. That's easily the biggest pop she's ever had in her WWE career.
100%.
So,
Yeah. And of course, this was the match. It was overbooked, yeah, but
no, that would be that was the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the Priest versus Bad Bunny. Yeah,
that's it. That's it. Okay, we'll get to
Punishment Martinez versus Bugs Bunny.
Yeah,
versus Bugs.
But that was the next match on the bill. So
okay, so
may as well just transition right into that one.
Let's go right in.
Even though that was supposed to be part of the double main event, but there was a match between that and Brock and Cody, which made no fucking sense, but
yeah, and the cool off match between the two was the 6-man tag with the involving the Bloodline.
Yeah,
the Bloodline was in the cool off match. They're the Divas match from 2008.
Yeah,
but yeah, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest. Gotta say what you will about celebrities in wrestling, but I think people like Bad Bunny and Logan Paul have like stepped up expectations a little bit.
Yeah. Like they're actually training. They're actually. Mm-hmm. Wanting to be a part of it. We can throw David Arquette into that as well now,
but not in WCW.
No, but like he was just there because he was Pork and Courtney Cox, but
yeah,
I think it's changed now and he actually enjoys pro wrestling and he is trained and has done.
And he had that little run in Impact for a bit too.
Well, yeah, so you got to give it to these three guys.
Yeah, of course.
I just didn't know who Logan Paul or Bad Bunny was until their involvement in wrestling. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe I'm just like Cornette. You know, everyone says, oh, Cornette, you're out of touch. Well, I think when it comes to pro wrestling, I think I am in touch. Okay, for the most part. But when it comes to popular culture, I don't know. I think I might be corning it a bit because I had no idea who these guys were.
Well, and we all know what Logan Paul is infamous for, that YouTube video of him in the Japanese suicide forest, which is you can't find anymore. So don't even try to look.
Okay.
So, yeah, he got a lot of heat for that. But, yeah, now he's got his own podcast and stuff, and he's got his own energy drink. But And then Bad Bunny. I'm not really in tune with mainstream music, and he's apparently the number one recording artist in the entire world.
Even more than Taylor Swift?
I guess. Wow. This is just according to WWE, I suppose.
Oh, well, okay.
But, like, you got a lot of people who have never heard of Bad Bunny. He's like, oh, I guess he's won Latin Grammys for Best Artist. Oh, or okay. Best Album of the Year.
No one in America would know.
Nobody in North America. Yeah,
Logan's video was taken down, but someone re-uploaded it.
Oh. Of course. I guess nothing on the internet ever goes away. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No matter how hard you try. But so much for don't try and look for it. But no, like Bad Bunny is a superstar in Latin countries. Oh, okay. Like when he came out on SmackDown, which was also in Puerto Rico, he got a huge pop, like understandably too. Mm-hmm. So like he's a big deal in these countries, even if he's not a big deal in, say, I don't know, New York. Yeah. But
Alabama.
Michigan.
Jacksonville, Florida. it is like amazing how good of a performance he put on, mm-hmm. despite the mm-hmm. fact that he's only wrestled, what, 3 matches?
Wow.
Yeah. His tag match with Priest at WrestleMania 36, his Royal Rumble performance from last year, and this year now the San Juan street fight with Damian Priest. And I'm actually surprised this match didn't headline the show, given that it was so overbooked and like the fact that it was 2 homegrown dudes.
Yeah, in the match. It should have been.
Yeah,
if you're not going to have a world title in there, then that I think that should have been. But,
given the way that it ended too, like with Bad Bunny pinning Damian Priest mm-hmm. after a Canadian Destroyer, or a Bunny Hop as it was referred to,
a bunny destroyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, like there was a bunch of great spots in the match, like
Carlito's back.
Yeah, that was the biggest pop Carlito ever got.
Yeah.
I remember as we were watching, I'm like,
the music started, and then we were like, wait a minute, Carlito!
Well, we knew Snowy was hoping that it was going to be his dad. Carlos was going to be Carlos Colon.
Yeah. And then...
Which would have been something.
It was his son, and I'm like,
that's worse.
Okay, close enough.
I mean, in this day and age, could like Carlos Colon really be seen as a threat, or is he kind of like Ric Flair, where you just kind of look at him and you're like,
Yeah, well, he would probably have. They would have used him to come out and like strike a pose and stop the heels from running away.
The heels would look at him and be like, "Oh no!"
Oh, it's like when they looked at Savio Vega when he came out on the ramp, like. What, you can't run past an old dude?
Yeah. Yeah, Savio Vega came out. Yeah, he was.
Oh, no, he can stop 3 of us. No, he can't.
I remember when I was a teenager, I ran past many old people.
Yeah.
Get out of trouble. I don't see what the problem here was.
No, that's like another wrestling trope that I hate when like someone's music hits and then someone just like gets paralyzed out of fear and they're just standing there just like going like,
oh no, what do I do?
Oh no, oh, what's going to happen? Like, this guy's making his way down the ramp, and it's like,
what am I going to do?
It's like the steamroller scene from Austin Powers. If you know, you know.
Where am I going to go? There's ropes, asshole. Just leave.
Yeah, just get out of there.
I don't know. It's you, the 30-year-old guy against the 70-year-old guy. I don't know, maybe... Maybe beat the shit out of the old man.
You think?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just push him over and run.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to be laughing. Well, this is
we were laughing pretty hard during that spot. Then
LWO came out.
The rest of the LWO comes out to clean house.
I mean,
it was cool
seeing Savio smack the shit out of Dominic, though.
Yeah.
That was great.
And of course, let's not forget Carlito spat apple in Dominic's face. So therefore, Dominic is not cool. That's just how it works.
Balor took a good backstabber.
Yeah, he did, of course. I'd like to see Finn Balor versus Carlito now.
Yep.
So make it happen. It'll Triple H happen. Tomorrow on Raw. Come on. Let's do it. By the time this airs, Raw will have already happened. So we'll see where this goes. Yeah.
And then when they were chasing them out of the building, you were just like, Quick, yeah. Let's go beat my son's ass.
Yeah, yeah. Rey Mysterio leading the charge while they're chasing everyone. I was like, come on, let's go beat up my son.
Yeah. Yeah. Get him.
Come on, guys.
I don't think they thought that one through. No.
Well, hey, you know, it is what it is.
It would have just been even better if Rey said it.
Yeah.
Come on, guys, let's go beat up my son.
Oh, okay, my face is sore.
Yeah, I'm going to have a six-pack by the time this is over.
We must have laughed from that spot until Lesnar and Cody happened.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah, then,
let's go beat up my son. And like,
yeah, but then
people
like,
chasing dogs.
But then after Bad Bunny pulls out the win, everyone's celebrating with him in the ring. Everyone's got their LWO shirts on. He's like, the LWO is hoisting Bad Bunny up on their shoulders and like celebrating with him. You'd think this would close out the show.
Yeah, that's the moment.
After the match had been so overbooked and having right. that celebratory moment.
Yeah, because they always, like when Hogan was the man.
And yeah.
They always ran out with him doing the pose down and all that. That yeah. is the moment. You know, Bugs up on their shoulder would be the moment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
It was like for it to fade to black with Bad Bunny up mm-hmm. on someone's shoulders, like celebrating. Yeah. Why not? Like, especially being that they were in Puerto Rico like, and the crowd's going absolutely nuts. But
that Falcon arrow he took off that.
Off the table. Oh, yeah. That was a good spot. Like, I've seen a couple angles of that shot. But,
you could tell Bad Bunny was like, oh, fuck, that was a bad
Oh, movie. He's definitely bathing in ice today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's not having a good time.
No, nope.
But
you could just tell on his face after, like, that was dumb.
Yeah.
Nope.
You could tell he enjoyed doing it. Yeah. But anyways, despite the fact that there was another hour in the show, so we'll go on to that. The cool-off match was the six-man tag team match with the Usos and Solo Coca-Cola.
Coca-Solo.
Coca-Solo.
Coca-Solo. Yes.
Coco shot first. Yeah.
Anyways.
God damn.
Solo Sikoa and the Usos from the Bloodline versus Matt Riddle, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn in a six-man tag team match. Like, oh, obviously this match was going to be great. Every single person in this match is a top star and top athlete. But for the cool-down match?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. Without Roman Reigns there, I guess, yeah, is what it is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was obviously used to just build the story more around the dissension in the Bloodline. Obviously, something's going to happen between the Usos. It's going to be the Usos versus Roman and Solo at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely what they're leading to.
And it'll be good.
Yeah, the end of the match happened. Solo hits Matt Riddle with the Samoan Spike, gets the 1-2-3. And Jimmy looks happy about it, but Jay obviously looks distraught because Jay's obviously the one who's like wanting to descend the most from Roman Reigns' ranks. So, yeah, I mean, he was the first one to be brought into the bloodline and like gaslit into acknowledging his tribal chief. So it makes sense that he'd be the one to first turn on him, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Dissension amongst the ranks, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say.
Exactly. But, yeah, no problems with this match other than it being the second last match on the card when it should have probably been before the Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest match, but whatever. And then we get to the main event.
Dun, 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 yeah. dun, dun,
dun, Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar.
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't spend a lot of time with the internet wrestling community, but and I was busy this morning, but even then I saw, like, there's some people that are a bit cheesed about how this ended.
Yeah, I didn't like how it ended with a surprise roll-up, essentially, or with, like, Cody, like, getting the technical pin when Brock had him in the Kimura lock.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what it was called, right?
Yeah.
Kimura lock, okay. Yeah, sorry, I'm not a submission specialist. It's like, I know the sharpshooter, the crossface,
the
walls of Jericho.
We don't know 1,001 holds.
No.
That's right.
Armbar.
Armbar. That's right.
But anyway, yeah, like this match definitely didn't feel like it should have gone on last, despite the fact that it had the star power. But I guess with Brock Lesnar, it's like I'm either first or I'm last. So
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I guess he didn't mind hanging around in
Puerto Rico. San Juan.
Did you see Cody's walk at one point?
Cody's walk?
I didn't even realize it last night when we were watching it, but when he had Brock against the barricade on the floor, when he walked over to get something from the stairs, he kind of did like a... You know the bushwhackers?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I never noticed that. And I was the one that was itching for a Butch Miller from the Sheep Herders.
Oh,
the Bushwhackers.
Right.
As you may recall, it's like, let's see him come out because the Sheep Herders were such a big part of the old WWC in Puerto Rico. And that was the only time I was hoping to see.
Well, what was cool with Savio, too. Anyway. It's like not a lot of people know that he still wrestles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that he owns a company. In Puerto Rico, IWA Puerto Rico.
I definitely didn't know that.
No.
So.
No, I know he still wrestles occasionally at least, but yeah. Yeah. So Cody ends up just rolling him up and winning.
Yeah.
After like, Brock bled the hard way.
Yeah. Brock hit the exposed turnbuckle and was bleeding hard. And like, I got to give a shout out to Brandy Rhodes for that tweet. My husband is covered in blood and not his own. Praise him.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. But like,
that's the best thing Brandy's ever done.
Yeah. Probably.
Really, yeah.
But like, it wasn't a horrible match. It's just like, why did it have to main events and why did it have to end the way it ended? Like,
Cody
didn't conquer Brock Lesnar.
No, he didn't.
He just slipped in the win and got a surprise, like one-upped him on a surprise.
See, that's just it. I'm thinking, okay, as soon as the pin happened, it's like, okay, this is Lesnar's idea.
Yeah.
Because
he didn't want to be defeated with a finishing move.
He understands, okay, Cody has to get his win back because I sneak attacked him or whatever. But I don't want him. Here we're talking egos now. So if I just allow him to just get a quick pin on me, well, shit happens. And, I can retain my status as Mr. Badass.
I guess. It definitely seems like the feud is going to continue now. So,
as well, it should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how quick his head wound healed after he put the towel on.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar is not of this world.
No.
I'm assuming so.
There was shots of off the air of Brock getting a standing ovation for like 5 minutes.
Well.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, you can't deny the man's popularity.
Yeah.
But.
Right. Right. And they didn't do anything. They didn't have a medical assistant come in and sew up Brock's head in the middle of the match.
You don't do that with Brock Lesnar.
No.
Yeah. Pretty sure Brock Lesnar would out loud tell the guy to fuck off.
They didn't switch it to black and white.
He would have got thrown into the fourth row.
Yeah.
Team Rocket's blasting off again.
Someone did throw him a towel at the end of the match.
Yeah.
So that was nice of him. They probably didn't want to go anywhere within arm's reach of him.
Probably not.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Cause like getting within arm's reach of Brock Lesnar would be dangerous for, well, anybody.
Yeah.
Really. Like whether he's in a wrestling ring or the octagon or just like standing in line at the supermarket, which I don't think Brock Lesnar does, but
probably not.
No, he probably pays people to do that.
Yeah,
or Sable just does it herself. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know them as people. But no, there's a threatening aura about that man, and I don't want to get near him. One minute you could be laughing and having Jack Daniel shots with him, and the next you're going through a barn door. It's like drinking beers with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
sorry. So
if you're standing up, like. 2 feet away from each other talking, it's like any time now I can just get kicked in the gut.
Yeah. Well, that's even how I felt when the tag team match was about to start with him and Cody. I was just like, something seems off. And then as soon as he picks him up, I'm just like, there it is.
So, 2023's Backlash. Horns up, horns down, horns in the middle of what?
I had a good time watching it, despite the fact that nothing really significant happened in the show.
Yeah,
there were no title changes. There was nothing, no stories really like progressed. Mm-hmm. There was no story arcs, I would say.
Right.
Besides Solo grabbing Jay.
Yeah, that's about the only thing. Like the blind tags in that match. So
when he grabbed him by the throat and
not the worst WWE pay-per-view I've ever seen. Far from it. Mm-hmm. This is no Hell in a Cell 2019.
No.
But I'm getting sick and tired of talking about that. So, so I'm just going to give it a horns in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. Not the best, not the worst. But
it's all right.
With myself being an old schooler and all that, I don't necessarily think that every card needs an arc or needs, you know,
Granted, something to go down.
You can just have a card of good matches, and it kind of delivered. So, and you're right, it didn't blow me away, but I wasn't expecting very much.
Okay,
so I'm gonna go horns in the middle, and you're gonna find this hard to believe, but leaning to horns up.
Okay, so pointing to the corner, as we said before, it's where the wall meets the ceiling, pointing to that corner. Okay,
it would be, I don't know, at a clock, it would be about 2 o'clock.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair, that's fair.
Okay, now, before we go any further, Matt, please explain to me, because I don't know what's going on. Okay. And you tried to explain this to me off air.
And it just sounded like...
Yeah, it's had nothing to do with you, okay?
It just eventually sounded like...
You turned into Charlie Brown's friggin' teacher there.
The trumpet.
And I'm sure a lot of our listeners, especially the older guys like me, are going through the same thing. So please explain this debacle.
Okay, well.
All right, I got time to look up this bottle more.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
All right.
Yes,
well,
play with your bottle.
Being that Roman Reigns, currently, okay, we're going to have to stop. Wait for us to stop laughing here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to do it.
Now, being that Roman Reigns currently holds both world titles in WWE, and yes, they are still considered two separate titles, despite the fact that it is the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. On the website, it is still listed as the Universal Championship and the WWE Championship.
That's what I was thinking.
Now, he holds both titles. He got drafted to SmackDown, which means he will stay on SmackDown. And therefore, because of that, Triple H introduced a new World Heavyweight Championship to be defended exclusively on Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the reveal of this belt, I will say there has been some division with this belt. Despite the big WWE logo right dead center, I like it. It's a combination of like old, it's like the new version of Big Gold. Obviously, Big Gold will always be my number one.
Okay.
Yeah, I love Big Gold to death. This is like a compromise between like new school and old school. It's got that old school feel to it. It actually has a design to it. It's not just one giant logo, like the WWE and Universal Championships and the Women's Championships. But it actually has some design to it. There's like the lions on the side. There's a crown on top of it. It's got a lot of 60 jewels to represent 60 years of WWE.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's
yeah.
I like that.
It's but it doesn't have the nameplate. It does still have the side plates like current WWE championships. It does still have the big logo dead center. So there had to be a compromise between old school and new school. And I think this kind of achieves that perfect balance between the two. It actually does look like a championship, like a prize to be won. I like it. I know I understand that a lot of people don't, though. Some people will never be able to let go of the fact that it's not the WCW championship.
It's the modern era Big Gold.
It's Big Gold 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if I was a wrestler, I would happily wear that as a championship. So, and it actually says world champion on it. So, you know, just like, I don't hate it. It's gold. It's actual gold. It is actual fucking gold with a black strap. What a championship should look like.
Yes, all titles should have a black strap on it.
Yeah.
It's not that hard, people.
No. Yeah.
So Roman will still be Universal Champion on SmackDown.
Yeah, WWE Champion. So he will be exclusive, in quote, I use that term loosely, because with exclusivity is never a long-lasting thing in WWE. But he's a part of the SmackDown roster, and he brought that title with him to SmackDown. Therefore, the World Heavyweight Championship will be exclusive to Raw.
So, they're not dissolving
They're not dissolving
the WWF title.
No, they're not dissolving either. Technically, there are three world titles.
Okay,
now.
See, that's the thing that was kind of making me go, "What the fuck?"
But so like,
oh my god,
I know. But like, Roman has two belts. But unless they somehow like tie this all up and say like, no, like this is now a one championship. Like if they give Roman his own belt, I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. Okay. We'll see what happens.
They'll have a ceremony on SmackDown.
At the time of recording, right now, the World Heavyweight Championship will be defended on Raw. Now, with that said, the tournament for the championship will take place on Raw and SmackDown.
Okay, isn't the point, though, of the draft is to separate and have different brands?
Yes. Yep.
This title... Not the two Roman has, but this one is supposed to be Raw.
Yep.
And if there's a brand split, why would this title, the tournament, have anything to do with SmackDown at all?
Well, what I'm thinking, despite the fact that there was just a draft, if the person from SmackDown does end up winning the championship, I can only assume that they will be moved to the Raw roster. Speculation on my point at this stage, but
common sense tells you that.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Vince is losing it. Though,
yeah, so. But yeah. So what's going to happen? I don't know. Maybe they did announce who's all going to be in the tournament. They said it was going to be announced later today. So
yeah,
it was
announced this morning.
Okay.
Okay, and they're going to be having a.
It will be a tournament. Like, despite the fact that they have enough weeks leading up to Night of Champions to have a proper like. Actual tournament with brackets, like a singles tournament with brackets, and just on Raw. I guess they got to throw it on SmackDown.
Call me crazy,
but I guess if it does happen between only like if it happens if the finalists are determined within 1 week, they have time to build to the actual match and build a feud between the two finalists. So you know, yin and yang. So from Monday Night Raw in the tournament. Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, The Miz, Cody Rhodes, and Shinsuke Nakamura will be involved. Okay. Meanwhile, from SmackDown, Edge, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, Austin Theory, Rey Mysterio, and Sheamus will be involved.
Okay.
Now, I don't know who will be involved in what matches, but on Monday Night Raw tomorrow, as we are at the time of recording, and this Friday on SmackDown, there will be two triple threat matches. The winners of those triple threat matches will go on to face each other in a singles match in the main event of the night. And the winners of each of those main events singles matches will face each other at Night of Champions for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, okay.
So.
I think I got that.
Yeah. Rather than having like a bracket just full of singles matches, they're just like kind of just consolidating it into two triple threat matches and then, going from there.
Okay. I can get behind that if it was... All guys from Raw.
Yeah.
And still doing, competing to get a spot in the triple threat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But, yeah.
So, okay. My biggest prediction to who will be the the first World Heavyweight Championship in this version of the championship, because it is a brand new lineage. It's not carrying on from Big Gold. Just all right. Just so everyone's very clear on that. There's not going to be a 10-year gap between the World Heavyweight Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship. So everybody is clear on this.
Sorry, they all of the titles, the Universal, the WWE title, and this one, they all go back to Bruno in my headcanon.
They
Like, it's all from...
The current WWE Championship that Roman Reigns holds, despite the fact that it says World Heavyweight Champion right on the belt. Okay, and this other belt is the World Heavyweight Championship, even though it only says World Champion on the belt. Because the one that Roman has, the one with the black strap, that is the WWE Championship, but the original Big Gold was absorbed into that, and it Yeah, there's a whole thing. Just go on WWE's website and look up the lineages of all their titles. It's all there. I'm not here to educate you.
We can watch that 10-minute, 16-minute video on WWE's YouTube after.
Yeah.
With what's-his-face going over all the belts.
Well, that was just for the WWE Championship, though. The World Heavyweight Championship's not involved in any of that. Or, like, the big gold World Heavyweight Championship is not involved in any of that. So, yeah, this is... Yeah. But, yeah, like I said, I don't know what's going on with Roman's belts, if it's just going to continue to be two belts, or if he's just going to get... If those are going to get consolidated into one championship belt. And if that happens... Which title discontinues?
Yeah.
The Universal title, which is the one he's held for almost 1,000 days, or the WWE Championship, which has been around for 60 years? Do you end 60 years of lineage just for the sake of a title reign?
Wow.
Or maybe when he gets to a certain
Or maybe point. When he gets to 1,000 days, they give him the new WWE Championship.
Yeah. I guess, and the Universal Championship just goes bye-bye after how many years?
I'm good with that.
Well,
the Blue Universal Championship. The Blue,
yeah.
not the
Red Belt Championship.
Yep.
Yeah.
The champion.
Both versions of that belt look dumb.
Yep.
Like, I don't know.
It's a weird... Okay, sorry, you just kind of mentioned he's at 1,000 days or
almost,
something?
Almost 1,000 days.
Night of Champions will be 1,000 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's... That'll be 4 years?
3.
Okay.
Almost 3. The week after SummerSlam this year will be his official 3-year anniversary as Universal Champion. WrestleMania this year was his 1-year anniversary as WWE Champion. So it's, I don't know, when they're talking about them like they are one championship, but they are still technically two separate championships, right, on the website, it gets very confusing.
It does.
But
yeah, very muddled.
And it's the same situation with the tag team titles. Like, there are still the two belts, and it's referred to as the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, yet on the website, there's still the Raw Tag Team title and the SmackDown Tag Team title.
Okay.
And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have been drafted to Raw. So what happens now with those belts? Does SmackDown have a tag team division now? Like... I don't know. They haven't explained any of this yet. Maybe tomorrow on Raw, Triple H will come out and explain everything like the great man that he is, and he'll make it all make sense, and we'll be like, thanks, Paul.
He'll come out, a 15-minute walk to the ring.
Yeah.
Spit the water.
No, he doesn't do that anymore.
No.
He's wearing a 3-piece suit. He's not going to get water all over it. Come on.
You should see guys at weddings these days in 3-piece suits, and they have too much to drink.
Champagne. Yeah.
Champagne. Yeah. Okay. I'm actually going to be tuning into Raw tomorrow just because
I'll watch it Tuesday morning.
Well, that's the same thing.
I have an MRI tomorrow, so I can't. Okay. My MRI is when Raw starts tomorrow. So
okay.
Live.
Now, with. Like, the only WWF I'm watching outside of the pay-per-views is Raw when I remember to.
Okay.
You know, because I'm not watching wrestling on Friday.
It's a 3-hour commitment, man.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like, I can't get to Raw until the replay.
Right.
And then, you know, and before you know it, I'm asleep before
the ending.
The main event. So, yeah, I'm actually interested tomorrow at the very least. To find out actually who's going to be on Raw. Like,
yeah. Like whether, yeah, even though the draft just happened and they said the draft goes into effect after Backlash, which has happened now.
Yeah.
So everyone needs to go to their new homes and stay there.
Yep. Don't fucking leave.
Yeah. But you have to assume that the two finalists of the World Heavyweight Title Tournament being on two different brands are going to show up. On Raw and SmackDown, despite the fact that they're not a part of those shows. And
it's not that hard.
Yeah, this could have just been a Raw. Or just give the title to Seth Rollins like Eric Bischoff gave it to Triple H back in the day.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess since Rollins is a babyface now, that wouldn't really work. So,
no.
Yeah, my only hope in this whole thing is that Cody Rhodes doesn't win it. Because if Cody Rhodes, of all the people in it, win the title, it will feel like a comp like a compilation, or not compilation prize, a consolation prize.
Okay.
Sorry. It'll feel like a consolation prize to the Undisputed Universal Championship. Because since he was the last one to face Roman Reigns and almost beat him, yeah, if they give it to Cody, it would be like, here you go. Here's your participation yeah, world championship.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, because I remember when winning titles meant something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Like with Seth Rollins, though, he technically didn't lose to Roman Reigns. He just got disqualified. So, and AJ Styles, I don't think, ever faced Roman Reigns for the Universal title.
No, it was the WWE title.
Yeah, like way, way back.
And those matches were fantastic.
Yeah. But I mean, in this current reign of like the tribal chief, I don't think AJ Styles has even faced him. But
I will say, throughout all this, expect the odd phone call from me, you guys. Okay, explain this to me now. Like, what the fuck?
They do
this just to irritate me.
I'm hoping in the coming weeks.
Just to grind your gears.
That's right.
I'm hoping in the coming weeks that everything will be made to make sense. Because as far as right now, everything's kind of scattered. And it needs to come together in some way. And Triple H needs to tie it up in a nice little bow and explain it to me and other
and
people.
Then
I'll explain it to you. And then I'll, yeah.
And we can all live happily ever after.
Until the next draft. Yeah. until the World Heavyweight Championship and the Universal Championship get unified 6 years from now.
Until Roman wins the World Heavyweight title somehow, and then he has three belts.
Yeah.
Roman three belts, yeah.
Yeah. The three belt tribal chief.
Hey, I want to switch into tonight's Turnbuckle Talk, but to kind of get us into that, and it's kind of relevant all in a way, because this is an AEW topic.
Yeah. Spend enough time talking about WWE.
Yeah. Please. The new Britt Baker t-shirt.
Yeah, that's
fucking bad.
Wow.
Like,
without context, without knowing what it is. Whoop boy.
Yeah, well, like, and Britt was defending it on social media. It's like I understand that there was a t-shirt of her with blood on her face, and there was that one of like that picture of CM Punk and MJF when MJF was a kid meeting him at a meet and greet with the blood smeared over it. Out of context, yeah, those might look bad too, but like the fact that it's just a picture of a woman with a black eye, no words.
Nothing.
At all.
Yeah.
You wear that shirt just out and about in the streets, you are going to get some bombastic side eyes.
Mm-hmm. Because basically what that shirt is saying is we are celebrating domestic violence.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone made a comment on that AEW post the other day. Remember when Jericho punched that fan?
Oh, that attacked him?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a woman too, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
And then he wore it on AEW.
In Vancouver?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm a firm believer if you're going to attack... Like if Jericho sees a woman 5 feet from him and he's got time to react.
Yeah.
This woman is attacking me. Okay, don't punch her in the snout. Okay.
She did.
But in the heat of the moment, and he doesn't know what's
going on, he was getting into his car and he wasn't looking.
Like, okay, so that
this was also
jumped him from behind.
This was also this was back in like 2009.
Yeah,
I think I know
the incident. Yeah.
Where he was like trying to get to his car and people were like mobbing him, and you can actually like audibly hear him yelling, like, it's like, can you security guards do your fucking jobs?
Which I don't blame.
Yeah.
Which I don't blame.
Yeah, like he's trying to get into his SUV and a woman like jumps him, and he's like he's putting his bag down on the passenger seat and he's not even looking at her. She jumps him and he just like turns, like, basically cocks her in the face.
Yeah, that's self-defense.
He probably didn't even realize who it was until after he hit her. Because,
exactly.
In a situation like that, when you're a celebrity and somebody jumps you, it's, like, it's fight or flight.
You're getting smoked, basically.
Yeah. Like, you don't know if this person has a weapon on them, so you have to, like, act quick.
Yeah.
So
we all learned that lesson with John Lennon.
Yep.
And
Dimebag Darrell.
Dimebag Darrell,
yep.
And the young lady from My Sister Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, yeah, I don't blame at all.
Yeah, like, And now, well, yeah, but that, I remember people like coming up to me when that happened, being like, hey, do you hear Chris Jericho is going to get fired because he punched a fan? It's like, no, he was attacked. He's not going to get fired for that.
No one has ever gotten fired for defending themselves from fans because, like, people might think that wrestling fans today are crazy.
Hmm.
The territory days, especially down south.
Yeah, and what were we even talking about? Like in Puerto Rico, people would like throw batteries at other people,
they pour acid on you.
Yeah, there was a lot of wrestlers.
They would used to put nets on top over the entranceways. they would throw shit.
Like Ric Flair was like public enemy number one down there.
Oh yeah,
like, yeah.
Especially if he was to
throw like battery acid and feces and shit at you.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's gross. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it was crazy back then. But that was one of the things that made the territories, and this is bad to say, but it was all part of it. It was all part and parcel.
New Jack is a heel and in the South.
Wrestling fans back then were psychopaths because they took, well, because kayfabe was still alive and well. And the lines weren't as blurred. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But getting back to the t-shirt, if it was just the Outcasts and Chris Jericho wearing it for storyline purposes, not as bad. They're just trying to get heel.
They're mocking her.
Yeah, but for them to be selling it as a piece of merchandise, that's, you don't need to sell every t-shirt that you have on your show.
That's right.
Who is this for? Who asked for this t-shirt?
It's brutal.
I sincerely hope I'm sure it's already sold a few thousand.
Oh, guaranteed it has.
Yeah, because people just don't know. I'm sure there are people defending it. Like, I know Britt Baker was just doing it because she's trying to be a company woman. And
that's her job.
Yeah, it's like trying to defend that. But like at the same time, this is really a hard sell for me. Like we were saying, to the out of context, it was like, it's not a t-shirt I'm going to buy in the first place, let alone wear to walking around on the street or even to a family gathering, because I don't want to answer questions.
There's going to be 800 questions.
Yeah.
You want to get jumped? That's how you get jumped.
Yeah.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, but it's not, like, even when Becky Lynch originally had her t-shirt that said Last Kicker.
That was cool, but
for a man to be walking around wearing that shirt seemed a bit
I never thought about that.
Yeah,
but this is like, it's just literally a picture. Like
there's no words to put it into context.
It's she accidentally got a black eye during a spot in that fight and let's do this.
Yeah, it's like,
fuck.
Like Britt Baker's defense of it was like, yeah, they had a picture of me and they were wearing, made it into a t-shirt, so I decided to sell it as a t-shirt. It's just like, okay. So the heels are all wearing it on TV still, even though it's you making the money off of it. It's like, where does this logic come into this? Like, I don't know. Is there any logic to it? It just seems like a bad idea that they didn't think through. And now they're doubling down on it.
Right.
Like, rather than taking accountability and being like, yep, that was dumb. Sorry.
We fucked up.
Sorry, guys.
On the other hand, though, we are fans of aggressive music.
Yeah. Okay. But
now,
art and entertainment are by design, I suppose.
Right.
But,
But now, because what I'm thinking, if you took that picture and you put the band logo in the name of the album and you have a couple songs, anti-domestic abuse song titles on that record, that makes total sense. And I would buy that record because it's a punk band, a hardcore band saying domestic violence is wrong.
Yeah. Well, then you have a band like Cannibal Corpse that has like artwork depicting violent acts against women and even song titles like She Was Asking For It like Fucked With a Knife. Or you know, I'm not gonna get into it.
But I never saw that
like strip rape and strangle.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I never saw. But I never, being a horror film fan, not once did I ever see Cannibal Corpse as misogynistic.
Yeah. No,
because it's horror films coming to life,
and you can tell George is like the nicest dude.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And Alex Webster, like, well, George doesn't write any of these words. He's just the vocalist. It's all the other dudes like writing the music and the lyrics for him. But Like Alex Webster, same thing. He's not a, as far, like, as far as I know, he's like one of the nicest dudes ever. When I met him, he was like very accommodating and like the nicest dude you could ever talk to. Like, it's like this guy who's writing some of the most brutal death metal you could fucking think of. And he's just like, walk up to him. You're just like, hey, Alex. He's like, yeah, man.
That's right. That's
like, how you doing? Thank you very much, man.
That's
like,
yeah. The way it is, like with metal and hardcore.
Well, it's like, I have a band shirt of like this big ugly creature thing, like fucking a chick.
Oh,
but like it's a band shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah. But I guess when it's obviously supposed to be like for entertainment purposes,
yeah,
lack thereof, or like fictional, like,
yeah,
fictional,
yeah,
depictions.
Like, well, like, look at even some of Ingested's song titles from, yeah, their early albums, and they're like probably the nicest dudes I've ever met.
Well, even going back to Cannibal Corpse, like they have songs specifically about not only female genitalia but male genitalia,
yep,
being mutilated.
Yeah.
Like, what was that one? Oh yeah, blunt force castration.
Yep.
That's, yeah. Yep.
When I woke up this morning, I didn't think I was going to be talking Cannibal Corpse on Wrestling Night in Canada.
Well, here we are.
We
might
are.
Have to, yeah, put one of their albums on when I get home.
Yeah,
there we are.
Yeah, just throw them. Yeah, they're all on Spotify, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. But yeah, I don't know. Like when it's like a picture of a real person with a real black eye,
yeah,
just like, I don't know,
it's not good.
Like,
yeah,
if it's a drawing for a band, sure,
yeah, whatever. Yeah, if it's a drawing, it's artwork.
Yeah,
it's like depicting a fictional situation. But I understand that wrestling itself is also depicting a fictional situation, but at the end of the day, Britt Baker is still Britt Baker when,
yeah,
she goes,
mm-hmm,
home,
like,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Wonder how Adam Cole felt about that one.
Well, I mean, if Britt Baker
shit,
was...
you know what? I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, he hasn't even commented on it, I don't think.
Because he probably told him to shut
just,
the fuck,
yeah,
up.
Just, I hope this blows away, because it's making me...
Well, Britt was probably
bad,
telling him, like, shut the fuck up, don't,
yeah,
say anything.
I'm getting royalties for this, shut up.
Yep.
You don't say anything. She could take him anyways.
Probably.
You know? Sorry, yeah, sorry.
They're about the same height.
Yeah.
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 I love those short Adam Cole memes. They're so good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't really know if Adam Cole strikes fear in me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, some wrestlers just never did, never will. You know? He's not Brock Lesnar. That's for
no,
sure.
that much, yeah. That much is true.
Adam Cole running at you wouldn't be terrifying.
Yeah.
Brock,
yeah,
you would immediately shit yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Twice.
So it's kind of
once when you see him, and once when he gets you.
So let's kind of jump into our turnbuckle talk, which is more AEW.
Yep.
Shall we say, because one of the biggest pieces of news out of the pro wrestling world is Wembley
yeah,
Stadium is going to be host to another pay-per-view, and I gotta say, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, AEW All In, which
right
is
on.
The second ever All In, because like the first All In wasn't under the AEW brand,
yeah,
because that was strictly just three indie companies coming together and putting on an amazing, well, not really indie companies, but like smaller companies. It was like,
yeah,
ROH, who was like funding the whole thing, and then there was Impact, New Japan, I'm pretty sure was a part of that,
mm-hmm,
and there's some other just like unsigned wrestlers just kind of thrown in
New
there
Japan
too.
Probably threw the most, yeah, money at, yeah, it.
No, Ring of Honor did actually. But
it's just what pisses me off about some, like, everything pisses me off about wrestling fans.
Yeah.
But when they're like, yes, when they talk like about Japanese wrestling, like they don't know what it is, and they're like, oh, this little company, man, that doesn't mean anything. It's like, can you shut the fuck up?
Yeah,
everyone on the Japan roster is going to kill you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, look at the girls in Stardom who've been wrestling since they were like 11 years old, some of them.
Yeah. Well, it's also kind of tough because Japanese wrestling can be a tough sell here in North America,
mm-hmm,
because,
mm-hmm,
there's a lot of people that would just see, I don't know any of these people. Because we see this in music as well. Some obscure metal band, never heard of them. They're not playing the arena. They mustn't be very good, you know, while they're playing this awesome club. Well, so what?
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm, and that could be the same thing with wrestling fans here. They just don't know the product. It hasn't been drilled into their head. and some most, you know, apart mm-hmm. from the few wrestling fans that we still do have, those fans will know.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it's far and few between.
Yeah, but getting back to All In, it's it's a pretty monumental occasion for All Elite Wrestling as a company.
Mm-hmm.
4 years into their existence, they have, at the time of recording, have sold 60,000 over 60,000 tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very close to being sold out. I believe, Ducky, you
700.
It
it's 705. When I checked ticketmaster.co.uk, it said 705 result.
Okay. I marked out for that, and I don't know if I explained to you guys why.
Okay.
Okay. 705. Okay. TBS, the old TBS.
Yep.
Their programming used to start
at 705.
705. 6, yep. 605, but.
Now, like, I never understood it, but yeah. I was like, okay.
Everything always started 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
That's just the way they programmed it. So when Ducky said 705, I'm like, oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I have to share this with the listeners.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Nitro used to go live at 6:55 so they could spoil Raw for everybody because it was taped. So before Raw even was on, people would be like, oh, okay.
That's when it really got nitpicky.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know if that worked at all. That anyone, oh, this is already starting, so I'm just going to ignore the other guys.
It worked for 83 weeks.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Until they spoiled the fact that Mick Foley was going to be the WWE champion.
In the seat.
Yeah, and then everyone switched over.
The channel. That definitely has gone down in infamy. Yeah. Okay, so they're basically sold out Wembley Arena.
I believe it's a 90,000 capacity, but I don't know if they're releasing the other 30,000 just yet. I guess we'll have to see what the demand is for
them. Yeah, like
if the rumor with Punk returning June 17th is true, then it'll sell.
Yeah.
Then they might, yeah.
And that even goes like then that even goes into like the addition of their new show, Collision.
Yeah.
Cuz like
which is supposed to start June 17th.
Yep.
In Chicago.
And with that dark elevation. No, yeah.
I'll be on tour, let me know what happens.
Yeah, dark and dark elevation have been canceled as a result of that. Rampage is essentially becoming the new dark.
Okay.
So how it's going to work, of as far as I've been aware, Dynamite is going to be live and Rampage is going to be taped after that. Collision is going to be live and ROH is going to be taped after that. So
okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing ROH will no longer be taking place from the old Impact Zone. Like it was.
Okay.
All
right. Fair enough.
But anyway, leading back into All In.
Back into All In.
This was a huge gamble for Tony Khan to take.
Oh, yeah.
Because had this have flopped, he would have been like embarrassed, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And millions in debt.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have lost a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure his dad would have comped him.
Here's son. Here's a couple of million.
Yeah,
I'd be like my dad buying me a beer. Like that's.
Yeah. But I gotta say, like for their first ever stadium show. Well, and I guess technically Arthur Ashe Stadium is a stadium by name.
Right.
20,000 seats. That was their largest audience they've had thus far. This is just far exceeds that already. Tripling it.
Yeah, when pre-sale was 50K.
Yeah, pre-sale was at 50K. General sale went on. They sold the other 10,000 like within hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And all of this without announcing a single match.
Yeah, and that's the most impressive part. Like, all just... Well, that was the same thing with the initial All In, was that like it was a 10,000 seat arena. It was based off of a bet that an indie wrestling show could not sell out a 10,000 seat arena, and within 4 hours, the entire thing was sold out.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You build it, they will come.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, with this one, hosting a show in London, and like, granted, the London audience is different from the American audience. AEW is the number one rated wrestling company in England. So it's not that surprising, but at the same time, it's pretty fucking surprising.
But we were just when we were talking, when Tony announced that, oh, All In's at Wembley, even we were like, This is like, a mistake.
Ooh. A lot of sweaty palms in the offices for this one. Uh-huh.
And we were like, you're like just under 4 years in as a company. This is a mistake.
Double or nothing. This year's double or nothing, which is May 28th, is the 4 year anniversary of AEW's first show.
So it's like, yeah, it's like you're just at this very moment, it's just under 4 years. And you're like, oh, let's do Wembley. It's like, no.
Yeah. Like,
no.
Like, do you think WWF 4 years into their existence was just like, hey, let's sell out a stadium?
No.
Like, Vince McMahon Sr. wasn't that optimistic.
No, I don't think they would have done Yankee Stadium or Shea Stadium.
No.
I mean, they did in the 70s, Bruno, Stan Hansen.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's like commonplace for them to be in stadiums. Yeah. Like, not only for WrestleMania, but for like the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, any of the Saudi Arabia events. Like,
right.
O2 Arena is pretty big. It's no stadium, but. But where did they do Clash of the Castle? That was.
Wales?
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the stadium, but that had a pretty big turnout too. That was like 50,000 people.
Yeah.
So, they've done the Super Showdown that they did in Australia. That was in a stadium. So, like,
I forgot they did a Super Showdown in Australia.
Yeah. Pretty commonplace for WWE to be holding their stuff in stadiums nowadays. But with AEW, you basically just get the arena setting or Daily's place. Yeah, that's right. Like the only variance. Yeah, and like
no rent on that.
Yeah,
so that
like and like I said, Arthur Ashe, which like was a 20,000 seat stadium, but there's 20,000 seat arenas too. So, But yeah, it's looking like there's not even going to be that big of a stage. So it's looking like they're going to be coming out of a tunnel, and they've sold like majority.
Like MSG-ing it.
Yeah, they're selling a majority of the stadium to fill it out. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I'm stoked to see what this is going to look like on camera in such an environment for AEW. Like, it's exciting, but also like nerve-wracking at the same time. Like,
do you think this is a reflection that maybe they're starving in England to see live AEW? Like, do they go over there a lot?
They have never been there before.
Okay, then this could be a contributing factor.
And there's four indie shows the night before.
Four indie shows?
Yeah.
Okay.
Four wrestling shows the night before.
Okay.
Okay, well, like, that's... Okay, but these are the British...
Yeah.
You know, like, Impact or GCW, they're not...
No. It's like Progress and...
Oh, okay. Well, that stands to reason.
And then it'll be Americans going to those shows, too, being like, who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Good wrestlers. Watch.
Well, even though AEW just proved all their haters wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sold, like, a considerable amount. They'll probably find some reason to be like, oh, well, whatever, it's the first, let's see them do that consistently. Or whatever, British fans are all marks anyway. Let's see them do this in America. Like,
yeah.
No one's going to do it in America consistently.
No. Like, the thing I'm most stoked for about, like, I'm sure the matches will be great. Like, there's no doubt about that. AEW is, like, consistently put on a very, like, with some hiccups here and there, they have put on a consistently good product for the past 4 years.
I've been enjoying it, yeah.
Yeah.
So with the one major hiccup being Blood and Guts 1.
Well, that and the what was it? The brawl out after All Out. That was not great for their public image.
No.
And the barbed wire death match flop.
Debacle. Yeah.
There's been some hiccups for sure, but you know what? WWE has had them over the years too. So,
Yeah.
Let's, to say the least, to put it lightly.
What do you mean WWE has hiccups?
Yeah. Number one wrestling company. Numbers don't lie, bro. Anyway.
Acknowledge your tribal chief.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I get. Oh my God. Kiss a girl, buddy. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
No, there are people who say who refer to like AEW and even New Japan as like the little leagues. Oh, I don't watch the little leagues. It's like, cool, man.
Yeah. So really what you're saying, and I got into it with a hockey fan.
When half of the guys in Japan can destroy your main guy in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go on, make it public that the only thing you know is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Then you're just spoon fed.
Yeah.
And you're boring.
They have no.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have no will or to go search for anything themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then
right.
again, AEW fans can be the same.
They can be.
Like yeah. the guy I sat beside here. Oh, WWE can go die. This is the main promotion, blah, blah, blah. It's like.
Yeah.
I don't want AEW WWE to die. I just want them to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. At least do better with their product.
Yeah.
I want.
They have been lately, but.
And I want to see Impact, and I want to see GCW, and I want to see any other territory build themselves up.
Because when WCW died and WWE became like the only game in town, and ECW as well, when it all got consolidated into one company, that's when shit started to go downhill quality-wise.
It was, and we lost a lot of wrestling fans.
Yeah, and competition creates good product.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. Like, it does.
Unless you're fast food, then it's just like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Burger King and McDonald's can both go to hell.
Yes. But their chicken nuggets are great.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll stick with Wendy's and A&W. Thank you very much. if you're talking about fast food, then
acknowledge McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't know, that might be the title of the show.
Acknowledge McDonald's.
Acknowledge McDonald's.
McKnowledge me.
McKnowledge me. McKnowledge me.
And then I knew there was something in there.
And then it's Ronald holding up a burger.
No, it'll just be the WWE Championship with the arches on it instead of the WWE logo.
It's an
one,
M.
One will be yellow, one will be red.
And the WWE logo's an M.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it'll just be the golden arches instead of the WWE logo. One will have a red strap, one will have a yellow strap. Yes. And it'll be Ronald McDonald, but with long red hair.
Yeah.
And Grimace will be Paul Heyman.
Yes. Can someone fucking draw that, please? Oh. Holy shit.
Okay. I don't know if we're going to top that.
So final episode. Good night, everybody.
At the very least, this might be a
Holy
good time
shit.
To bring this crazy train to the station.
Well, anyway, at the end of the day, congratulations to AEW for selling out or almost selling out Wembley Stadium.
Holy fuck.
I look forward to All Out or All In and the matches that'll be announced for it.
And this whole conversation, we never said Bret Hart versus Davey Boy Smith once. Not bad.
Except for now.
Except God damn it, Snowy.
That was a different Wembley. That was a different Wembley Stadium. Okay? Like, different building, same name. But, yeah, SummerSlam 1992 was 30 years ago. Let's not...
That's right.
Let's not dwell on the past.
So how can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at WrestlingNightInCanada.
All right. And Wrestling Night in Canada is proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Check us out there. We're a predominantly pro wrestling network, but we have a variety of other programs, various different pop culture programs as well, including our sister program, Radioactive Metal. I'm sure after this, you've fucking had enough of me. But if you haven't, you might want to go there, hang out with my good buddy Aaron and I. If that's it, in the meantime and in between time... That's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. No, what?
I'm still laughing at McKnowledge me.
Okay.
Wait. What would the Superman punch be called?
Oh, the supersized punch. I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Hiding off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.